Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Good morning, it's Running Commentary. We're in Victoria Park, the sun is shining, and we welcome our first guest
in ages,
in many months. It's Ellen Tiernan.
Morning.
Not only has the lockdown stopped us running together, but we were already a bit accursed, weren't we? It's a bit like a sequel to how when we started out we couldn't get started.
Well, Ellen was going to pop up last week, didn't we?
Yeah, but also it goes back longer than that. We were all going to meet at Hackney Marshes Park Run before the lockdown, but right. You were injured.
Right.
Do you remember that? Was that your first park run?
No, I met you on my first park
run. That was that one.
I summoned up my resolve. I said, I'm getting down to that bloody park run thing. I'm going to find out what it's all about.
So that was your first parkrun, but how long had you been running at that point?
About 3 months.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a nice little trajectory, isn't it? And how did you find it?
Yeah.
Hackney's good. It's fast and flat and...
It's flat.
Nice community spirit, nice people.
It built up a hugely false sense of confidence because I started off too slow.
Right.
And about 3K in, I realised,
I can go faster than
these guys.
That's great. That's great.
And then I saw Rob.
Yeah.
Right.
Coming
the other way.
The other way.
Yeah. Spell Speedy Gonzales.
Yeah.
Just ramping up for a sprint finish. That's a good way to finish your first part run, though, isn't it? Overtaking people and feeling
confident. That's what you want.
Yes. Oh, I felt amazing. And I got a time. And
that's the magic.
Yeah, it was great.
Everyone gets a time. That's the thing.
I didn't know that then.
Yes. Yes.
No, but it's great. No, it's part run.
Made the cut or something.
Part run's perfect for that, though, isn't it? Get
that's
your
so
time.
Good.
Measure yourself against yourself. Nice atmosphere, competitive but not intensely competitive.
Works for the comedian, nice counterpoint to the weekend gigs.
Yes, yeah. Slightly early, but once it's done and dusted, you feel pretty good, don't you? You feel pretty solid.
You feel so good.
Yeah.
And there's those little tropes that you recognise at the start.
Yes, yeah. There's some characters.
It's a run, not a race.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm with you, mate.
Well, listeners know of old that Hackney Marshes Park Run is the home park run for the fastest man with a beard pushing a pushchair anywhere in the world.
We've had a few of those. I've also had people, when I'm really straining towards the end, just be really friendly to me as they overtake me.
Yeah.
You know, like guys with like ponytails and running bare feet going, "You're running really well, mate, it's great.
Do you want a bite of my tofu burger?"
Yeah, I'm doing flapjacks after the race, see you there, and then just speed off.
Yeah.
And what's your response?
Just heavy breathing and resentment.
So let's go back that 3 months. When you started, did you just start in? Did you do Couch to 5K? What was the story?
No, I started with general weight loss.
Right.
Previous to that, and
so you lost weight before you ran.
Yeah, lost weight,
yeah.
And started to realise then that running would mean that I could eat a little bit more.
Nice. True story. Yeah.
So, that's one of the major advantages.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was started off and first run I got about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then went an extra street.
That's great.
On it. And got up to a mile. So that would have been September.
Right.
And then by January, I thought I'd give this parkrun thing a go.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And did you like it? A lot of people start running and don't sort of like it, but do it because it works. And do you actually enjoy it?
I've had moments. I just get moments.
Right.
And then it's a lot of struggle and counting in my head.
Okay. what do you count like?
Strides steps. And stuff.
Right, okay.
Lampposts, yeah. Manholes. Get to the next one.
It's one of those things of like, the fitter you get, the more you get those nice moments. That's the thing about it. You've got to be... Do you know what I mean?
The satisfaction of that is amazing.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's really good to make it incremental like that. You were saying I ran a bit more, and I was thinking of my son, trying to make him go out and run a little bit further or try and run it. You know, just some kind of forwards motion in the growth of the run. And I was saying, in terms of like doing weight loss and then running and working up to parkrun, it was the same kind of... And coming to running in general as a grown-up reminds me of my kind of trajectory.
Yes.
But then it took me 7 years to get to parkrun, so 3 months is good.
Yes. What's happening there? Someone having a... some sort of picnic. There's an errant...
You mean the car?
Errant vehicle in the park.
There's a saloon. Is it some kind of sort of saloon?
Open booted saloon.
Open.
Impromptu fishing expedition.
Impossible pond car.
That's definitely...
A
post-lockdown impro, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Quite far away in terms of photos, but I got it.
Good,
it looks
fair,
like
evidence.
Paul, that's Eleanor's car. That's what
Park, it was a nightmare here, but I do have a bit of kindness story now that everyone's been kind to each other.
Please, give us
that. I was searching desperately for a parking space whilst... swearing quite loudly to myself at the injustice of it all.
There's a basic rhythm that listeners will know, which is we either run from the point
house.
On the park and walk, which is by Paul's house, or Paul
which
gets
is
a
really
£65 parking ticket. Those are the two ways.
There's no. So I asked some lad, you know, where I could park and stuff. He ended up giving me a voucher. He just said, I'll nip into my house and give you my parking lunch. So kind.
Lovely.
And then we got chatting a little bit. And he's a producer for Sky Arts. He's got a show coming out, something called Life and Rhymes.
Nice.
So we had a bit of a kind of content bonding because he saw I was doing a podcast. Before you know it, we're just sharing.
Yeah.
But you must have done something to kind of get him to do that gesture.
I think it's just a
kind of... his arm up behind his back.
I think it's just a kind of low-key northern charm. That's all I can put it down
to. It can't have been that.
Yeah. But exactly when he needed
just
it.
Just a kind of... Yeah, just go, all right, mate. I was saying things like... do you know, because he was pointing me to a road beyond his road that you couldn't get to because it was blocked off. I was saying things like, do you know the name of it by any chance? It doesn't matter if you don't. I was being like that. And then before you know it, I mean, he offered me in for breakfast.
Low-key northern charm!
Come on, mate. I'm shining 24/7. Irresistible.
I thought it was a baby bird, but it's a song thrush. Sorry, bird moment. Well, that is beautiful, and I'm sorry.
It was a nice little...
to be cynical about it.
No. It was a nice little moment.
I'd say when you
before
said...
you know it, we're fellow producers of
the
content.
A beautiful story of kindness. I didn't realise it was going to be you trying to avoid paying for parking. Let's go the grassy
way. Here we go, let's go the grassy way.
This is beautiful. Do not use this area as a toilet. It's a shame her son's...
That's been a bugbear of mine throughout the pandemic. The lack of toilets in parks. Telling people to go to parks and then shutting down all the toilets. It's like a perfect storm, isn't it?
Perfect storm. With running.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Which
what we
is designed to...
to get the system moving.
Get the stuff
down.
What we call the shakedown.
Get it to the end.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, it's been a...
And I'd remind both of you that I'm vegan.
It's been a struggle. And what sort of running are you doing now then, Ella? Have you been running through lockdown?
I've been running. So I got this... got so excited with the parkrun situation.
Yeah.
Plus... I had a few weekends in the Glee comedy clubs.
Yes.
And
which
take you off to... I did Cardiff and Birmingham.
Right.
And Nottingham.
And, you know, great park runs there.
Yeah.
So I got into this thing of like...
A bit of park run
bringing
tourism.
My running,
yeah.
running
gig.
I did the Forest Rec one in Nottingham.
Nice, nice.
And,
I haven't done that one.
Then got so into it.
Right.
Bought this Garmin
Cheers,
watch.
Thanks, man. You got your watch.
This Garmin
you
watch.
Got that one. You got that one. That's
yeah, this little one.
So you can get your times from that now.
Yeah, you don't even need a park run.
Loads of times. Times, have you mountain, the
shop,
timing's happening.
Park run. Pretend they own the concept of timing.
They park run give you a time.
Yeah. And but also the thing Garmin too is coaching
right.
plans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can download to your watch. So I wake up in the morning, I press a button and it tells me what run I have to do that day.
That sounds great. What a great...
But this is...
And also a bit of company if you feel a bit isolated during lockdown, isn't it? It's all a bit of connection.
Not only company, confidence. There's a coach who has a level of confidence
yes,
in
yeah,
me
yeah,
all
no,
the time.
You're right, you're right.
And she tells me whether she thinks I'm going to be able to run this thing in a certain time.
Do you ever have that thing where you do it and then your coach says, oh, no, no, you shouldn't have done that. But you've gone too far. You've gone too fast. If anything, you're too fit. Has it ever tried that on you? Like a negative psychology compliment.
I don't know, maybe. I didn't think... It's quite possible, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think that it's also yeah. worth noting that we've just got no experience with this. You seem to be running like a modern person in a dialogue with your phone and some satellites and the internet.
Yeah.
And we've talked for a year and a half to the point where one of us bought a watch. That's basically how that went, isn't it?
But it's good to... It's good to chat to a convert, though, isn't it? And realise how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great to have that, isn't it?
It
just
is
have
good.
That sort of something to check into and monitor progress and all that, you know.
Yeah. Although I have, you know, kind of... We're about to pass the building of the Victoria Park Harriers
yes.
Running Club, which I have ran past and said, God, maybe I should... They sound like nice people.
They actually,
Harriers.
Yeah. They actually are, actually. I think you'd... I'd always recommend joining a club if you fancy it, if you want to get do different sort of races and get a bit faster and kind of I'd really recommend it. I mean London Heathside,
great,
it's good fun, but the races, they do races around here, it's so great because it's so fast and flat, you got all these fast flat straights, you can really
yeah.
get on it, it's beautiful
and I
races
think,
around here.
Hackney's got that great combo like we were saying about the park run. When it comes down to it, there's no real difference or all the difference in there between running club and park run, depending on how much you embrace the race. You
yeah.
know, generally, the people who are specifically hammering it out against each other to get good times and stuff are incredibly convivial. And then, quite reasonably, a park runner say it's not a race, it's a timed run. But there'll definitely be people there saying, I'm going to do it faster than you. So, you know,
yeah.
it is all one.
I do. You've reminded me of a comment I heard somebody saying, I hear Olivia's going for a PB today.
It doesn't sound like someone is particularly...
And I felt invested in whether Olivia made her time.
Well, that's often what you'll find, I think. We've never really talked about this before. I think other runners, non-runners tend to be... a bit more judgmental about your running than other runners are.
Oh, yeah,
other runners don't
right.
really care. I mean,
there's an overarching yeah. connection
other
between
runners.
Other runners
are pretty, at every level I've found, quite gentle, like even really intensely competitive, fast ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just quite gentle when they're not running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the non-runners can be, I've had non-runners say, oh, you're not very, you haven't done very well today. Or, do you know what I mean? That
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of
they're
thing.
The ones who bring
you
that
must be very unhappy about that.
It, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Do you know, after perfectly acceptable 10K run, you know.
I made the mistake of sharing on a family WhatsApp group that I had done a particularly fast run by my standards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
did you get your PB?
Oh my God, I got a PB, but my brothers were all like, bet it was all downhill. So yeah. actually, yeah, but...
That, yeah, that reassuring, supportive family pylon associated with any achievement. Yeah. So how many times are you running now then, a week? What are you doing?
I do about 4 a week.
That's great.
Whatever the watch tells me.
That's great. That's
what I do.
That's perfect.
Do you find that there's do you find that feels like a real major commitment doing whatever the watch says, or do you find it's taking all your, it's really nice because it's so external, you know what I mean? You just run when you're told.
You don't have to think about it.
It's a bit of both. I have to watch that I don't get too robotic about it.
Yeah.
Because I could, you know, decide I can only, those are the only runs I could do. I might not have done the podcast for them.
Yeah, right. Because it's not my run day.
Literally to it.
Yeah. Go and run with Paul and Rob.
Yeah.
Wait for half an hour and Paul eventually
Garmin
turns up.
Yeah. If you had the podcast programmed, it's a run.
What voice has it got?
It
couldn't change it.
I know, yeah. It's actually not an audio thing.
All right.
It's just messages and vibrations on your watch.
Yeah.
On your wrist. I don't listen to music.
You do, you don't.
Don't.
No, I don't. I don't know.
People don't. I do. I must.
I like the...
Although, can I just... Sorry, Paul.
Sorry.
But this thing about foot supportive family. I've been asking around, trying to, generate support for the crowdfunding of my book.
Sure.
And people have been absolutely lovely about it, particularly running commentary listeners. So lovely. And also embracing the model. You know, you pledge to get a copy of the book, or maybe two copies of the book, or maybe I'll make you a playlist, or, you know, map you out a run. You know, you can basically bet against you can't say pre-order, but you pledge towards a pre-order of a thing, yeah? And basically, old family friend after old family friend of my mum and dad. Oh, and I'm splitting the profits with Parkinson's UK. And over again, they say, yeah, can I just give the money to the charity? You know, they're basically getting in touch with me as if to say, yeah, I really can't be bothered to have to even look at your book.
I prefer it cost me more to save me the time.
Yeah. For God's sake, take £10 off me and leave me alone. Family.
So have you been missing the gigs? Have you been doing any gigs?
I sent a text last week because I had done a weekend of Christmas gigs in Birmingham, and we did eight nights and five gigs. No, and it was Scott Gibson and Carl Donnelly and myself.
Right.
And we kind of felt bonded after the weekend that we'd been through something.
Yes, yeah.
And then the other week, I messaged the guys and said, God, what we would give to be
walking out in Birmingham.
Some Christmas bell end from the office.
To be shouted at by strangers.
To be comprehensively talked through by people we disapprove of.
Absolutely,
It's definitely made you... It's made you reassess what's an acceptable gig. But having said that,
yes, absolutely.
I haven't. I must say, I've knocked back a couple of. I can't be arse gigging in a car park. Yeah. Have you done that yet?
No.
Right. I just don't want to do it. I just want to wait. But it's a bit grim, isn't it?
It's coming back.
I've done a few of the Zooms.
Right.
And I think I thought at the beginning what would happen is that there'd be a bit of disorder and kind of chaos, but it would come together and become its own thing. But I don't really see it now after doing 4 or 5.
It's maintained the same level of...
Well, the production of everybody's different laptops kind of varies so much. Yeah. I just feel like it must be a lot of work for an audience member to tune in.
Yeah.
To every different person, different background.
And can you hear the laughs coming through?
It depends.
Right.
They can set it up so that you can, but I think it's a bit of extra work on the technical person or the promoter because they've then got to watch that person.
See who's laughing. And press the button.
And reset the sound.
The timing's got to get right.
You have to reset the sound so that it doesn't jump to the person who's clapping.
And they don't just exclaim, oh, I forgot to put on a wash.
Right.
In the middle of the gig.
Yes, they haven't got a watch, they won't know whether it's a running day. Because long-term listeners of running commentary will know that. It sounds like a egotistical segue, but I've got purpose here.
Go for it.
I directed your show last year.
It was a great
experience, great show, but also interesting from here to think how you hadn't even gone for a run then. It was after that.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, running has coincided with something else that was going on for me.
So I was going to say, we were just sitting down in, what, February to look at your show for this year, and then...
Yeah. I gave Ron a bit of news.
Right.
And I told him that I was gay.
Right.
And I was coming out.
Yeah.
And at that time, apart from me saying, good on you, congratulations, we were both like, this is going to make a great show.
What are we going to do with the show about this? Yeah. But yeah, I do think that it wasn't the only factor, but definitely running was something that was building my mental resilience.
That's interesting.
And giving
Yeah. Maybe a bit of confidence as well, or maybe...
Yeah, and a bit of... Just that sense that difficulties will not last forever.
Yeah. That's
you'll get through it and finish up.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're basically saying that the sense of hanging in there with running was what gave you that kind of shape that you could do things, do new things, go in new directions.
Yeah, that you could change the script at any point.
Yeah.
It gives you a bit of agency, doesn't it, over your life a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You can decide to go for a run and lose some weight or get fitter and faster. Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's an element of control.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it also, because I thought it might be, I don't know if I'm just describing the same thing in a different way. For me, I felt like the change that running brought to my life is it changed my relationship with myself so that I could be a bit more objective about it, supportive, and like, this is what I want to do, but also just a bit more distanced, which is really weird to be distanced from yourself, but do you know what I mean? Like my running head is a level head. It's kind of emotionless, sees very clearly.
You obviously knew you were gay for quite a long time, I'd imagine. It's almost like they brought out the pandemic to bloody drown it out, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? To mess with the timing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, the timing was absolutely absurd. Because I was finally in this situation where I can tell everybody, but I'm actually just in my bedroom.
Yeah, it's basically like this. I'm coming out.
Go back in!
Yeah. There was comedy to that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The collision.
Yeah, I had this vision I was going to go out in London and
yes, of course, yeah.
Enjoy the
new reality.
The life, yeah. Yeah, and meet new people.
Yeah.
But that was different. But there's actually a lot of stuff you can be doing, getting on with.
Yes.
But also, I think also...
There's a whole collection of movies that can be watched.
Oh, this is, you can do all the required reading.
Yeah. Yes. So I won't be caught out now in any discussions, any of the groups.
But actually, that in terms of what I was saying about you doing, going to the Edinburgh Festival with an hour on the subject or whatever it might have been, well, I think that in the end, sort of post-stroke during lockdown, coming out was pretty... positive? Went well, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. But it was lovely because I didn't get to stick my big oar into it.
Right.
As to how I would have wanted it to go, and it was way better.
Right. What do you mean by that?
So, I would have wanted to do a show and a stand-up show about it, but that was taken away. And then chatting to Rich Wilson, who's doing a podcast,
and he
suggested going on. And the podcast was about, the theme is mental health, and I knew I couldn't go on the podcast without talking about that subject.
Being honest, yes.
So I kind of said, well, maybe that'll be how I kind of weave it into the stand-up world.
Right.
So I recorded this podcast, but I had no sense of when it was going to come out or anything. And then about 5 o'clock one evening. I realised, oh, it's because it's all time for the podcast release.
Right.
I was like, oh, it's coming out in an hour. I better compose a tweet.
Okay.
So I wrote something up and I just retweeted as a retweet of Richard's podcast. And yeah, it just was got loads of nice congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
From people, and just it seemed to. I can, maybe the timing of it coincided with just a certain mood.
Right.
That people were like, oh yeah.
Yes.
I'm glad somebody.
Well, something good's
there's
happening.
Something to counter.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What's
yeah, yeah,
going
yeah,
on
yeah,
here?
Yeah. Maybe it was nice to deal with it as a person for a while before you wrote a show about it. Maybe. Who knows?
But I think going back to what Paul was saying, it was a nice moment. You know, it was a nice moment for a lot of people because when you. You know, coming up with Rich and then it being online, because it was something genuinely joyous in someone else's life. You know what I mean? This is a time when everyone's very much down a rabbit hole of their own house, whatever, and whoever is in it, and to share in something that's kind of big and good.
And also telling you that life is going on regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah,
people are still
yeah.
growing and doing stuff and things are changing. And
yeah. And one of the most mortifying things about it is that I'm 43.
That's not mortifying. But it's
I do on some level have to admit that I may well have f***ed up my whole life.
I think that it's the opposite. I think that it shows that it's something, and that's why maybe while you're thinking that, lots of people who are your contemporaries, roughly contemporaries, because we, for example, are older, but no, let's say contemporaries are allowed, and Gen X, and that basically it shows a truth, and it is a truth, I'm not just being nice, that it's really important to remember that growth and change is available to grown-ups.
And don't stop.
Yeah, we don't have to get to 25 and set.
It's an interesting midpoint, isn't it?
But yeah, it does seem like a bit of a crust starts to form on you
yeah.
when you're about 25.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah,
yeah. you've got to really work to not let that take hold.
Well, I think it's...
Just change things up.
I think it's...
Not that that's what this is.
Yeah, for everyone, that's right.
No, but also the desire to change lets itself... known despite your attempts to suppress it.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
comes out, doesn't it?
You
can resist it, but
yeah.
you'll be miserable all the time, or
yeah,
you'll be
yeah.
angry,
life,
or... Do you know what I mean? It's always telling you, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
What, you kept looking at pictures of men going, yes,
come on,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
You can do it.
Magic Mike, go on.
But come on, that's...
One more go.
That's cheating, because...
This time it'll take.
You'd have to be dead not to see something in Magic Mike.
Well, this is it, actually. That was a little bit confusing, because what I kept trying to, I guess, pinpoint, find this one piece of evidence that would say I was gay.
Right.
But then there was a, like, just every now and again, just fancy the odd guy.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
And then that would be like, oh no, you can't be gay.
Yeah.
Not the, despite the overwhelming
yes,
trend
yeah, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
opposite.
The exception proves the rule, yeah.
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 Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And have you felt relief since? Have you felt a bit lighter? Have you felt?
What I notice is that I'm not doing as much work to protect myself
right.
in, say, social situations.
That's great. What, you felt a bit guarded previously in case it sort of popped out or something?
Oh, it was terrifying. Right. The idea that somebody could just ask me if I was gay.
Right.
And I'd have to come up with a, you know, a
convincing counter argument.
Yes. Well, no, I couldn't possibly. Did you not see me earlier?
Oh, just like someone trying to lie in a film.
Yeah, I did get heckled once with it.
Right.
And it obviously had enormous significance, so much more significance than it would for anybody who wasn't gay.
Yes,
anybody
of course,
who wasn't
of course,
gay
yeah.
would just say,
yeah.
Why are you being so homophobic, mate?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Well, I was like,
look at you,
what does he know?
Truth teller in the yeah. crowd. Mystic.
Yeah. He sees me.
I think it's nice. Just hearing you talk about it now, it's interesting how all three of us are people who work through our lives, and when I say our lives, you know, the depths and philosophy and emotions of our lives through two things, comedy and running. And I think in this instance, running is possibly a slightly more helpful way of processing this news than stand-up.
Especially when you can do it. So that was in one ray of light during the lockdown, hasn't it? Just despite all the mismanagement and nonsense,
yeah.
the insistence, even by the blonde fool himself, that we get an hour a day. Do you know what I mean? It was something
yeah.
that I really appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
And it's good for you running.
Yeah. Yeah, although I am still injured after that football the other week. I'm still got a bit of a weird upper groin abductor, some sort of strain going on. You're coming off a 20 at the weekend, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah, I was just really, we've just come round into a second loop of Victoria Park, and it's really funny for me because we just breezed past the gate just then.
Are you
Did
okay
you guys
for,
even
okay
notice
for a double loop?
It?
No.
They didn't even notice
you're right
it.
Yeah, I'll go, yeah.
And I came here on Saturday. I basically ran the, how big is Victoria Park? It's about 5 miles, isn't it?
Right.
So I ran kind of 12 and a half to 17 and a half of my 20-mile run on Saturday.
Right.
Here in the sunshine. And, yeah, coming past St. Agnes Gate for the second loop, I kind of knew from the first step of the first half of the run that that was going to be the moment.
Pretty tired.
I went, I will continue.
Pretty tired.
I will. But it is a lovely place to run.
Yeah,
don't
it is, yeah. And have you recovered all right since you're 20?
Well, yeah, I took lots of time for me because I've been running more and more. Eleanor, I say your name so because you know I'm talking to you, but listeners.
But when we were in Durham,
yeah,
in January,
this is
February
like,
maybe.
Yeah,
we did the comedy store on the road.
Yes,
gig,
yeah.
And you were getting up at 6
to do a
to
long
do
run
a
in
20
the morning. Oh, well, it must have been a
that day
marathon training run. But that was the thing on this one.
Rob does that.
I just came round the pond on Saturday because I really sneak up on making myself do lots of running. Well, where your watch is saying, run today. I'm saying, you know, this week we're going to do this, and on Tuesday you can do that. And I kind of, and then I get out on the run and think, oh my goodness, I'm doing this. And the moment with that was, on Saturday, was I've come out to run 20 miles, and I'm not training for anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, that certainly never happened before. I don't know if it'll ever happen again.
Or are you training for the possibility of London still?
Well,
is that
I think I'm sort of training. I think I basically based my training on an imaginary marathon.
Right.
Because that's what I've done.
Yeah.
But equally, what the lesson that I'm trying to learn from lockdown training entirely predicated on the fact that I was right on the brink of tapering for those two marathons in April, is to try and jazzily, loosely maintain a high level of running fitness.
Right.
you know, with a high level rather than a base level. So that if someone said, oh, by the way, you're doing a marathon in a month,
I could do that. Yeah.
Then I would do my fastest one.
Are you going to do another marathon call?
Probably. I definitely will. It's just whether I want to do a fast one.
Yeah.
Because doing a marathon and doing a fast one are totally different experiences.
Well, hey, how about a little bit of podcast blackmail? Not only in front of our listeners, but in front of our guest. I had this idea the other day. Let's say, as a working model, that events and everything go completely back to pre-lockdown in 2021, all right? So,
Eleanor fancies man. We're back in the groove with it all. Things back to normal. It's all a bit embarrassing what happened.
Sorry
about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
She's pushing it. Well, she literally is pushing the tree. So, sorry, go on then. That was a joke.
She heard you say it.
What, the woman
pushing the tree?
It's good to push trees.
Hashtag be kind.
Good exercise.
Okay, so it's 2021, and we've deferred our marathon places in Manchester and London, which are then 3 weeks apart in April.
Right.
Manchester first.
Yeah.
How about you become my coach?
Right.
And coach me to a PB in Manchester. And we do it as a special series in addition to the podcast, heavily sponsored by a major international brand. And
I'd love to know. Let's go.
And they want to do it because we'll be 3 weeks ahead of the
of London.
London, so people will be desperate to hear that.
Right.
And you'll get me to my fastest ever marathon time at the age of 48.
I'd love to do that.
And that in turn would mean that you would have to invest a huge amount of training effort, but with a new angle, because of course, Paul trained for and did a sub-3-hour marathon, which has left him
incredible
with a kind of non...
It's pretty out.
A very low-key problem.
It's pretty amazing.
Of knowing what
when you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I did my sub-3 at the age of 47. I think it's well within your capabilities to get a PB, definitely.
Yeah, I think it would be much easier
Do I get to wear a cap? Can we go around here?
It's good. I think you've misread that. You get to wear a cape and carry a cane. Follow me, sir.
What would your philosophy be, Paul?
What would I do with Rob to get him faster? I'd probably spend now until Christmas probably doing about 40 mile a week, but just doing more quality stuff, getting his legs used to moving faster, so that when he comes down to it, the pace he wants to run a marathon next April feels slower, just feels more easy. And then I'd just ramp up the mileage and mercilessly terrorise him January, February, March, lots of shouting, psychological torture.
You'd be on the bike.
Ain't no use in hauling ass.
I've changed my mind.
Third platoon is just a full metal jacket training montage.
I think that sounds too
This is my trainer. This is these are my Nike Vaporflies. You're up for that? You ready for that?
Let's do it. I don't think you should wear a cap. I think you don't even think you should wear a cape. I think you should wear a straw boat in honour of Ian Holm in Carrots of Fire.
No, but what I could do is I could... Because I'd go on the long runs with you and then I can maybe... Well, we'd probably run London together, wouldn't we?
You'd have to be able to run with me.
I'd have to get pretty quick
which
myself.
Which is feasible because I'm slower than you, but equally, you'd still have to supercharge.
Totes.
What about you, Ella? Set for a marathon?
I would love to
What's
do
the
one.
Furthest you've run thus far?
I do, about 8 miles.
That's a good run.
Yeah.
And how does that? And that's something obviously you've gradually built up to.
Yeah, just build it up and then. But I guess the more you get into it, the more you realise what the marathon, how big
it is.
So
I'd say really key stuff.
I don't want to miss any of the steps.
I think psychologically, The hugest one, and this is a real broken record for me, and it wasn't even my own idea in the first place, but our friend Kate Carter said, it's bad that a half marathon is called a half marathon, because it denigrates it.
Half
makes you think it's half or something, you know. But actually, a half marathon is a fantastic distance. Really good challenge, because you can take it on from a point of, you know, it doesn't take 6 months to train for one. And it is right. If you do run, if you can run 8 miles, then it's kind of like a reasonable horizon point.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's just a huge run because you get to the threshold of what your human body can naturally easily do. And you run into the zone, basically beyond somewhere around time, which is somewhere around an hour and a half, very roughly, and the fuel in your body.
Yeah.
On a half marathon, you kind of get to the point where it's all gone and you have to hang in there.
Yeah, I'd be very much like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, I certainly...
That would be...
My first half marathon, thinking about this the other day, I just got to like 11 miles and had this like... Oh, I see. You know, it was kind of like a pretty, it wasn't a very fun epiphany. But what you were saying about like hanging in there and running a bit further, you know, that was like the quintessential one in my life. And oh my goodness, I'm going to run this. And I don't know if I can, you know.
Yeah.
And you realise that those times when you thought that when you were running 2.5 miles, you were...
When you just get the sense, I might actually do it. I might finish it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But the feeling after these hard long runs, it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good fun.
Yeah. You get
it's
such a
sort of, like, running's great and really enjoyable, but then stopping running when you've been running for ages hard is just so... just so wonderful, such a great feeling.
Oh yeah,
it's just all so serene, you know, such a nice feeling of relaxation.
We bought a new fountain.
Takes it with you for ages.
A solar powered fountain, and they set it up on Saturday, and I got back from this long run here, went in the garden, had an ice cold Erdinger alcohol free from the fridge.
Nice.
And listened to the new fountain. I mean, now that was just it was a long run, but that was just a run.
Yeah.
But when you finish an event...
No, but 20 miles is
that's
a long journey, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I was going to say, what you have to do is next time they do run-through events here in Victoria Park, you have to do a half marathon, but actually, that must be a tough... And this very spot, they do a lap, which is once around for a 5K, or once or twice around for a 5K. There's a version three times around for the 10K, which is what we've done. And then the half marathon... They go around 7 times.
Yeah, it's a bit dull.
I think my head probably will fall off. That. But I do the 10K again. That's your next event, the 10K.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, that's
what
you do.
I'm aiming for. It's just the whole, all the information about running on the internet is quite disparate.
There's two
different websites. And
yeah,
it's very simple.
Yeah,
it's very simple. Just the more running you do, the better you get at running. The more you enjoy it.
Unless you get injured.
The more fast running they do, the better you get at fast running, the more slow running. The body's very adaptive. And that's it. That's all you need to do. I mean, what do you need to know?
When does one on?
Pardon?
And when there's a 10K race on.
Oh, right, okay, right. Just literally when you can get one.
Yeah, when do they happen? And
yeah. Well,
that's something I never think about, actually.
Do you run races?
Getting diaries. We run races, yeah.
Yeah, and it's good to have websites for those. I always base them around gigs. So from this point of view, it's all kind of dormant, you know, looking for that moment when, one, I'll be on the road or home again, and two, when there's events. But if you do follow, it's quite interesting following, if the two points of the triangle are my training schedule, like when I want to do a 10K or a half marathon, and where I am gigging, that can lead to some really interesting events. You know, like I ended up doing because I wanted to do a half marathon when I was in Manchester, I found a multi-distance running event on a Grand Prix track in Cheshire, and went and ran a half marathon on this, you know, and I wouldn't have chosen to do that just for choosing to do it.
Yeah.
But that was a crazy one, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And also, funnily enough, it was a big moment for Paul coaching me, because he just said by text the day before, 5 laps, is it? Yeah, I said, what you want to do is do the last 2 faster than the others. Oh, oh, damn it! Oh.
Just run faster, mate. You need to move your legs a bit faster.
And what is your 5K PB?
24:13.
Oh, that's good.
That's good to say you haven't been running long, isn't it?
Yeah. And have you got a 10K? Have you measured a 10K?
I did 50 for a 10K. That was the one I shared with my
family. Yeah, that's good.
But the fact that you've done 50 for 10K means that you can run faster than 24 and a bit for 5K. You're at a wonderful stage in your running. You're on a lovely trajectory. Well, you're just going to get fitter and faster. It's great. Yeah. I've crested. I'm crumbling down the other side. Rob still has dreams of improvement.
Desperately trying to put together past glories.
Which I think can be realised. But you're right at the beginning. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just a real laugh. Such a laugh. And if you can do a big mass marathon, if you feel like it, if you want to do it, it's such an amazing feeling.
Yeah,
it really is.
Have you travelled at all? Well, called for a marathon?
Robson, more than that. I've been really unimaginative. I've done like 6 Londons and 1 Yorkshire marathon. But Rob's, you've been all over.
Yeah, I've been really imaginative. I've done 7 Londons and 4 Yorkshires.
But you've done Berlin as well.
Yeah, I've done Berlin and New York.
Berlin.
And one in Leeds up the canal towpath. And the thing is, it's like somebody said years ago, he just said everyone should do a marathon at once in their life. It's not that it isn't a massive, massive endeavour, and it wouldn't be huge to do it. It's just that it's such an enormous experience to take part in it. And in a way, that's the great thing about British marathons and the London Marathon, is that it's not just for runners, you know. They're not just for PBs or because you like your training. It's because it's to give shape to a quest, whatever that quest might be.
Yeah, it's quite an internal journey.
Yeah.
It's like a private drama played out publicly. It can be very emotional. Yeah.
And the other thing is, going back to what you were saying about coming to running and coming out at 43, is that this is the time. You know, running is an older person's game. Older, not old.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, in a way, particularly distance running, actually, I'd say.
It's our one thing that we may have... might not be as such a disadvantage.
No, you're right.
And comedy.
There's not many.
All these things, I just think, really, you know, this is a very easy perspective for me to have. But I think the problem really is, in modern life, people... It's probably not just modern life. People do get very excited about youth. And youth is full of bright ideas and energy. But age has wisdom and experience and good sense. Makes less mistakes.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff. It's really good.
The whole thing of negative splitting things is like...
Yeah.
It's such a philosophy.
Yeah. In a way.
For stand-up.
Yeah.
I'm saving your best joke to close on.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. And the best way to be in the moment, you know, being in the moment isn't about being so gauche that you forget what you were doing this morning and aren't too bothered about what happens later. It's knowing what you did this morning and what's coming later and still having the power, the strength and the wisdom to be present here, enjoying this. That's what being in the moment is all about. And, you know, these kids today, they don't know they're born.
Mine, all 3 of them are off camping at the moment, actually.
Together?
With their mates. With George's mates. I've got a son who's 21. A daughter who's, how old is she? 19, 20. And then a son who's 17. And they've all gone, they've hired a field with stationary yurts. It's going to be absolute mayhem.
Yeah.
Sound systems. They're going to really go for it. Hopefully they'll be all right.
Did you get roped into transport or anything?
No, because they've all got cars now. A lot of them have got cars, so they just zip up, which makes it loads easier. And it means that me and my wife have got free yard for
your
4
house,
days.
Your house is actually a drive-in now, isn't it? You just come and park in front of it.
Our
And you tell them off and they bid the horns and flashlights.
Our house is full of, constantly full of kids.
Do you still have other kids staying there even when your kids aren't?
We've got two other kids. No, we've got two mates of my kids sort of staying because they're not living at home sort of thing. It's like a sort of hostel.
So it's like gonna in be the really, film hostel.
It's going to be really nice to have a few days totally quiet around the house.
Yeah.
It did feel like a free yard. It felt like when we go on holiday and the kids have a free yard. It was like, yeah, free yard. And they've all got George and my son Rudy are the beginning of relationships as well.
Great.
It's all really exciting. Really exciting.
Is that new?
Pardon?
Is that new?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's just a sort of stuff that's been bubbling under for a while. Sort of come out post-lockdown. It's just really nice. It's nice
seems
to have
a strangely, strangely nice good time for starting relationships in lockdown.
Yeah. It's, and they're going away and all, looking for jobs. And despite all the understandable pessimism, they seem fairly cheerful about it all. And they're still getting opportunities and stuff. It's good.
Right, yeah.
It's good.
But they won't be able to go into railing. Ella was supposed to be going to Dublin.
Right.
Weren't you?
I was supposed to go to Dublin today. And there was a bit of confusion. I feel caused by the government, but they weren't clear on what the legalities around travelling were and what the definition of a key worker is.
Yeah.
Because
so you can't travel just for leisure to Dublin at the moment?
I can travel, but I have to do a 14-day quarantine.
Oh, wow.
Right now, but...
It's a shame, isn't it? That puts a bit of pressure on the visit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mom better have.
It's better be a nice Sunday lunch.
Yeah. What do you mean there's no hot water bottle on my bed?
So, apart from not being going to Dublin and doing that, what's next? What do you feel that we can, which of us can make real plans for the autumn? The comedy gigs are creeping back in. What do you think you'll be doing for the rest of 2020?
Well, since the coming out, I've had loads of jokes come to me.
That's good.
And maybe not so funny stuff, but that I would still like to write.
Yes. I remember you saying way back in February how it was quite liberating because it meant that you kind of found dishonesty is too strong a word, but you know it distanced you from your old jokes in a way that was really that was freeing.
Yeah, like there had been a few jokes I had been telling for years that were about me and having sexual and romantic stuff with blokes.
Yeah.
That started to feel so
increasingly
hollow.
Yeah.
But then you have your set.
Yeah.
You know, you don't
get
want
a laugh to laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know.
That would be
the audience.
That would be the title of my Edinburgh show. A laugh's a laugh.
Yeah.
But there is a real freedom as a writer if something unshackles you from that stuff in that way, because then you're free to fill the gap with the new joke.
Yeah. So I'm trying to just allow that to happen.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I don't know what form it'll take. It could be written stuff or stand-up or
it'd be nice if you could tell it to someone who isn't in a car.
Car-based comedy could be what would come out. So yeah, that's
nice. That's exciting.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And it's just waiting for the gigs to come back as and when they do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
We're
right.
still in a bit of a state of unknowing, aren't we, in terms of who's going to take the risks and also how much, you know, if it's socially distanced, how much money we're going to get. And, you know, it's just a whole, it's all a bit floating, isn't it?
Yeah. We can't know, really. It just feels like that time. It feels like
as the conkers
appear on the trees.
2 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to include it in the chat, but one club did contact me yesterday and said they're planning an indoor gig and to book me for it. So that felt like something different.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that happens, and that'll be what, in about a month and a half? So that's it.
Yeah,
perfect.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You 20 minutes from it by then. Done.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah. I need you to direct it as well, Robin.
Ah, good. Great. Now I've got a job too. Hey! Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. I mean, it's the longest I've gone without gigging for like 25 years. And you just don't feel like a stand-up, do you, when you're not doing stand-up?
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But I still like...
No, it's funny. I feel like for me, this year, and we talked about this before, I spent years having this sort of daydream, this idea that the perfect life would be to be a runner and a writer.
Right.
You know, to go for a run.
Yeah.
Go home, do some writing, and repeat.
Yes.
But the weird thing about it is, I'd always imagine that something happening to someone else. Somebody really different to me, living really far away.
Right.
Whether it's some guy with a pipe on the coast of Scotland, or Haruki Murakami, or just someone in the past.
All from it.
But also introverts, and people are very happy in their own company.
Right.
People have cats. And this summer.
Is that the gate there? Sorry.
Yeah, this is us. This summer, I just realised that that's me.
Yeah.
And that if I want that, I want that. I don't want it for some imaginary person. I want it for myself.
Yeah.
And B, if I want it, I can do it. And C, it won't be all weird. I don't have to suddenly change, you know, grow a beard or change my wardrobe. It's like the goose in the glass cask. Do you know the goose in the glass cask in the Buddhist Koan?
Go on, then.
No.
Okay, so there's this...
What goose?
Goose.
What's this goose?
There's a goose trapped in a glass cask.
Yeah.
And you don't want to break the cask, you don't want to hurt the goose.
Yeah.
How'd you get it out? I should warn you that this is a Buddhist Koan rather than a joke.
Right, yeah, that's fair enough. Goose in the glass.
That's really got me thinking.
Don't know. How'd you get it out? What do you reckon? Some to do with eggs? How'd you get it out?
Feed its stomach full of...
Do you want to know? Shall I tell you?
Yeah.
It's out. It's out. We imagined it. We conjured it. It can just be out.
That's not very satisfying.
I did warn you.
What a great run! Did you enjoy that? Was that good fun?
Yeah,
did you enjoy it? Really nice. That's what we do. Very slow, chatty.
And it's nice get up with you on this run. It's a shame we missed the drop on the podcast announcement. You're slightly annoying, you know. But that tension is with us and Rich, not with
see,
you.
I thought that Eleanor was on a dodge. I thought it was all like, oh, I've got COVID. So that's why I didn't think. So that's why I didn't realise she was going to be here today. I thought you were on a kind of excuse, go, I'm off to be good. Do you know what I mean? One of those. So it's great to see you and go for a run and find out
likewise.
Everything.
And it's also good that you didn't have COVID-19.
Goes without saying.
Yeah.
Goes without saying. It's good. It is good. Yeah. On the whole, it's good, isn't it?
I never really was in the, like, I might die moment with it. I just had all the shit stuff of, like, am I in this shop and I'm infecting everybody around me?
Well, you felt symptoms, did you? Did you feel that?
What happened was I was in a building that was really oppressive with the rules and everything.
Okay.
I had a few coughs during that and managed to convince myself.
Yeah, of course.
That meant I had it.
Yeah.
And ordered the test.
Right.
And did that. But once that moment had passed, I felt ridiculous.
We've all had moments like that through. Oh, no, it's great. Yeah. It's great you're through.
They should have better to be safe than sorry should have and feel silly written into it. Better to be safe than sorry and feel silly.
Yeah.
Well, what's your Twitter name?
@ Eleanor Tiernan.
That's very straightforward.
You go, yeah.
And our people will now look you up And when there's events, let's run. Let's run a 10K.
Yeah, we should get you in. Well, next time we do a 10K, we'll give you a shout.
Please,
yeah. In London.
Yeah.
Particularly if there's one called. Here.
I love it, yeah.
The ones here are great. And I entered a race in... I'm going to enter a race today at New Forest Marathon, so mid-September in Nottingham.
Oh.
Some races are starting to happen again. Some
is it
proper
in the New
races.
Forest or is it in Nottingham?
It's New Forest. That's not Nottingham, is it?
No.
It's is it Hampshire? Hampshire's New Forest, isn't it? I'm not very good at stuff like that.
Okay, well, if you are doing that event, don't car share with Paul.
Here we are, coming into Nottingham. Oh, no. Do you know where the New Forest is, mate? Can I have a voucher?
Anyway, I've got to get home because I've got a goose trapped in the glass cask.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.